is reviewed individually, somehow in isolation. So this kind of approach allows an in-depth analysis of each structure, because consultants and then the working group is purely focused on the analysis of each organization, and allows for highly specific recommendations. What happens, of course, when you have such a view in a complex organization like ICANN, is that you need to integrate this approach with an horizontal view. Why? Simply because all of our structures are interconnected, are highly interconnected in some cases, because a purely vertical view misses interdependencies and interrelations. Another reason for having an horizontal view is also because the organizational reviews are conducted by different external reviewers with different approaches. This is, of course, not to limit the market to a restrict number of reviewers. And it's now the time, the right time to look at interdependency. It was almost impossible to carry out this activity towards the beginning of the present first phase of organizational reviews. Now the findings are emerging and the interconnections are more clear, so they have to be analyzed. This analysis has been done in this period of time under the guide of the Structural Improvement Committee, and there were a series of external constraints to this analysis. First of all, we have different reviews at different stage of advancement, so in some cases the recommendations that have been analyzed were consolidated, so right to the final stage of the organizational review. In other cases, the recommendations were in a draft format, because still to be consolidated following comments and following acceptance of the final report. A large number of recommendations were issued. As I mentioned before, different reviewers, different methodological approach. How the work was conducted? This is the main tool that has been used to carry out this analysis. It's a table in which we try to represent the key recommendations coming from the four key organizational reviews: NONCOM, Board Review, ALEC, and the GNSO review. At the first sight, I don't know if you want to continue, or Roberto. At the first sight, okay, then you continue from here. That's fine. At the first sight, we tried to represent the interconnections that were emerging from a reading of these recommendations, and then the model evolved over time. Some of these links that you see represented as red arrows disappeared, others appeared, and as a resume of this long series of discussion of analysis with the Structural Improvement Committee, we came to a conclusion, basically.
Yeah, I think that there were a large part of the recommendations were did not have consequences in the other parts, in the different parts of the organization, and so could be singled out and acted upon. But there are, in fact, some interconnection. There are some interconnections that are confirming each other, that go in the same direction, but there are also some other interconnections that give conflicting results. For instance, on one hand, we have the recommendation to have voting directors appointed by ALAC, and so therefore implicitly to add new directors to the board, and on the other hand, we have the recommendation of the board review that suggests reducing the size of the board. So I think that one major task now is for us to evaluate where we have the interconnection, and we have identified one major area which is relating the board review, the NOMCOM review, and the ALAC review. To a certain extent, also the GNSO implementation that is going on, in the sense that the GNSO, the link of the GNSO to the rest is via the appointees from the NOMCOM to the GNSO, and the election from the GNSO of the two board members. But that is being that that the GNSO implementation is already going on, we will then evaluate that interconnection in a second time, and in the meantime the GNSO implementation is going on as is. So we have this set of recommendations that are interconnected. So, as I said, on one hand, we have the reduction of the size of the board, and on the other hand, we have the suggestion, recommendation for putting additional members on the board. Another issue that is related is then the NOMCOM, how the NOMCOM is the NOMCOM members. There's one recommendation also from the NOMCOM review to reduce the size of the NOMCOM that the NOMCOM review working group is working on now. And if we have to reconsider the composition of the NOMCOM, that has an impact on, for instance, the ALAC review, because we have ALAC. ALAC has a group of five representatives on the NOMCOM. One of the questions is how this would be affected, if, and how this would be affected if there is, on the other hand, direct election by ALAC of directors. So this is, I would say, this is the major node. Who has the slides? Next slide. So those are all the implications. And in fact, what I was talking before, I repeat very briefly, the inclusion of the at-large voting directors, how does it match with the recommendation of reducing the size of the board? Do we, following the... Yes?
Roberto, can I just ask a clarification about that? Because you presented, and maybe I should save my question. Let me ask it, and then you can tell me when you want to address it. You presented the idea that we had a recommendation for reducing the size of the board, and then we had a recommendation for adding board directors from the ALAC. But you actually have a significant amount of pushback from the community that opposes reducing the size of the board. So I would have thought we had three topics on the table. Do not change the size of the board. Change the size of the board, either by reducing it and change the, I don't want to say composition of the board, but change how some board members are put onto the board. And what I was just hearing you say is that, it, you know, we had a proposal to reduce the size of the board against adding more. I thought there was another category based on input from the community. Will that be dealt with at another time?
I think that what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to present the situation as is, and what are the recommendations, I think that this is part of the open discussion. How are we going to deal with this? What are the input that we get from the community? I'm just describing the what are the recommendations from the working groups. So I think that what you're saying is correct, and is I would say the second part of this meeting, where we evaluate the different options that we have on the table.
Okay, so in the presentation, at some point, I will find this clearly articulated as one of the options, so I don't have to make sure it goes back in. It's in the presentation later as one of the options, right? And so let me be clear why I'm asking. I need to understand out of this discussion what happens to community input, not just that it is documented, but how it is incorporated into the reviews. And this is a standing question. You'll hear more from me consistently in all of the meetings. So I just want to it'll be very helpful at the end of the meeting if I understand how the community input is treated in the review process.
Okay. Let me open a short parenthesis. The way we work is the SIC is the Structural Improvement Committee that doesn't in itself discuss the different recommendation and specific for one review and the community input to that related review. We have working groups started by the SIC that look at the specific reviews. So, for instance, what you are talking about, and then I will come to that in the second part, is what is the work plan at this point of the board review working group that will have to prepare different scenarios and get the input from the community. What I'm doing now as chair of the SIC, I'm just making a summary of the different quote-unquote issues that come up. And then we get into the phase on what are the different options that we have from the issues that are raised. So I'm trying to be as neutral as possible. We have recommendation of reducing the size of the board. We have, of course, the input from the community that in vast majority is against this reduction. But that was related only to the size of the board in itself. Then we have the ELAC review that came out with a recommendation of adding new board members. And then we had the comments on that. And those were two separate sets of comments. And I think that the problem that we have is at one point in time to bring everything together and to make sense out of the different parts and to have a more holistic view and to see how we can make those pieces interact. So continuing on this...
May I interject one question?
Yeah.
Thank you. One question. Actually, in the case of when we speak about the board, we don't usually make the distinction between the voting and non-voting. In the case of the ALAC representative, the interesting thing is that if we consider that when we say the board, the overall board, meaning the people who are in the room, voting and non-voting, will remain the same number. Because if you have an ALAC liaison, all that is at stake here is changing its status from non-voting to voting. So in terms of number, it doesn't change much. It would be different if, for instance, another committee or a constituency were saying, we want to add one person to the board. So in here, it's very important, as Marilyn said, to distinguish the two elements, but it is probably easier to solve than in other cases, because you're not adding actually anybody in the room. You're changing the status. You see what I mean?
If we elect one.
Yeah.
But it may be also be
you're
two.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. Second thing, may I ask you a question? How is the a working group composed? Only of members of the board?
Every working group is composed by present and past members of the board.
Okay.
I will address this at the end. If I can, I only have two slides, and then we open the discussion. What are the steps that we are taking for solving this issue, for evaluating these different and conflicting sometimes recommendation? First of all, in terms of the size of the board, I think that we have different possibilities. We have the recommendation. We can let the board stay at the same size. We can alter the size of the board. We can include one or two voting member from the ALAC. Also, because the recommendation from the ALAC review was to add two directors. In that case, we would in any case also alter the size of the board. Another impact is that one of the recommendations that come from the initial study, although that was not endorsed by the working group, was to eliminate all the liaisons and to leave only the voting member. So that would be in open conflict with the idea of having of the status of the ALAC appointees or elected directors. So the board review working group now is tasked to prepare different scenarios with different possibilities, different size of the board, and different possibilities with 0, 1, or 2 voting members of the ALAC, and evaluate the implication. One of the issues is that if we reduce the size of the board, we have to seriously figure out also a way for doing it, in the sense that the directors that are selected by the supporting organizations, we have the director that are selected by the NOMCOM. What is the balance between the two? Has it to remain the same, and so on and so forth? So once we have prepared these different scenarios, we will go to another consultation of the community. We'll post for public comments on this specific issue about the composition of the board. And then following this public comment period, there's going to be final decision taken by the board upon indications that this committee will present. So now that we are at the end of the presentation, may I ask if you have that's the moment for asking the questions.
Another remark before passing to the questions. I realized now that an important step I skipped in this next slide, in this last slide. Sorry, it was included in the previous one, but not in this last slide. The board review working group is also asked to present a scenario for possible different size and composition of the NOMCOM. In consideration of the impact that possibly the inclusion of at-large directors within the board would have on size and composition of the NOMCOM, first. Second, in consideration also of the indications from external reviewers and from the preliminary report from the NOMCOM review working group, in any case, to go for a reduction of the size and the composition of the NOMCOM in view of guaranteeing, in any case, representativeness of the community within the NOMCOM, but to get to a more workable size of the nominating committee. So this is part also of the task that has been given by the Structural Improvement Committee to the Board Review Working Group, so to come with different scenarios also for this hypothesis.
So, Roberto, I have a couple of questions, and one of them is, given that I read all the reviews, and
you are the only one.
I am not the only one, and that I thought that I was going to get my merit pin. My merit pin. I want to know how come I don't get a ribbon or a badge, you know, for...
Only pin.
Anyway, the more serious question is, there actually were many areas of interaction. This is an important one. It's a prevailing one. It's very important to me. But there were many areas of interaction between the parallel review process. And there is also, on my mind, the feedback that the community has provided consistently, which I think Marco didn't read before he signed his job contract, that said that there's a concern in the community about the characteristics and experience of the reviewers across the board and the expertise that they may bring once we throw them into the deep end of the ocean. Do they actually bring the right gear in terms of really understanding the community? So are those, you know, this is very important, and I do agree about focusing on this, but those are two additional questions that I thought we might be discussing when we were here, the additional areas of interaction between the reviews and the question of the characteristics or the qualifications of the reviewers across the board, and whether there's a process of improvement and strengthening of their real understanding of the community. And I'll just use as a specific example that I understand we struggle with this, and that is no better personified than when two economists who are maybe experts in economic theory used Walmart as an example in talking about the application of economic theory to domain names. So you know, the world around us does not understand us as an animal. We are a unique animal. So I'm not being critical looking backward. I just want to talk among the group about how do we identify the kinds of characteristics or knowledge base that reviewers need to bring, and maybe we could put that at the end.
Yes. First of all, addressing your two questions. For the first question, we have one slide that shows the interactions that was in the early part of the... if we can go back to that slide. Yes. Now, yeah. So those are the interactions that we have identified. If you see more... you specifically or generally the community identifies different potential interactions, then I would welcome any comment. In the presentation, I have outlined the most flagrant, I would say, interaction, that is the size of the board, but there are others. I would welcome comments either now or in now, the process.
Yeah. Right now, let me give you one, because I think it's very relevant. The ALAC was established as an advisory group with power and authority to provide advice across all aspects of ICANN. Are we all in agreement on that?
I hope so.
Okay. That empowerment came after an extensive set of debates, review, an extensive study about the practicality of how the at-large community would be represented, undertaken under the chairmanship of Carl Bild. There was an extensive building. There was an extensive set of compromises. There was an extensive set of understandings of how hard it is to build regional and local involvements. But the agreement was to empower the ALAC to have an advisory status across all aspects of ICANN. If there is now an idea to empower the identification of board members from the ALAC, and I am not making a judgment. I'm merely saying that if that is the idea that's on the table, we must reexamine the idea that the ALAC is going to continue to be advisory at all levels in the organization. And
why?
Because you are changing. We are changing the function of the ALAC. That may be the right thing to do, Harold, but it is an interaction. So I am identifying it as an interaction. And we can have the debate that I don't like it or you don't like it or the community doesn't like it. That's not the question right now. The question is, we created the ALAC to do certain functions, and I'm just identifying that as an interaction that needs to be thought through. And maybe the review thought through it, but it is an interaction. Now, it may still be the right thing to do.
The reason I was asking why is that my parsing of your words was that in order to get to address the question of whether ALAC should select board members, we should also address the question of whether ALAC should have a role of providing input into address assignment, to name something that is not the DNSO.
So very, very good question. I'm not assuming that a board member from the ALAC would be focused on the GNSO issues, right? They're from the at-large community. They would appropriately be interested in all issues involving ICANN, which is why the ALAC had the advisory function in the beginning.
First thing, just to be careful about the word. I don't see that it's the ALAC yet who will elect board member. It's at large, and that's something very different. It's maybe at the end it will be ALAC, but for the moment what it's written, it's something much more different. That's, we don't know who will elect those two board members. No, we don't know. We don't know how those two members will be elected from the at-large community. You have to take that into account. It's not like, for the moment, it's not written like the GNSO have to elect or constituency of the GNSO have to elect, and that the people at the council level or who elect them, but it's not yet done. That's my the important point, I guess. As I like, and I just speak on for my single voice, I have no problem with the idea of reviewing what could change if we have elected board member from the at-large constituency, at-large group, if it's still the same duty we will have to fulfill as ALAC. I hope that at the end of the day the answer will be yes, but there is no problem to have a look to that. My second observation is maybe I can stop and we discuss this topic and then I will come back to something else later.
Raimundo and
I think that you mentioned a very important point, the decision has not been taken and how these directors will be elected. But I think that the answer, if they are going or not to be, is dependent on the way it will be done. I'm sure that if it will be done as it was the old at large directors, I'm pretty sure the community was not very happy on how that was was how those elections were turned out, because there was there's a big huge possibility of capturing that, and the evaluation of the exercise of the at-large voting, especially in Europe, was very improve that it was a very good idea. So I think the ALEC who should elaborate before coming to the board to ask to for a new for the directors has to put on the table which is the idea of which procedure.
Just 1 minute of interaction, just to say where we are with the ALEC review process. By the way, the report will be presented in a few minutes, I think, at 11 and function 1-2 level 4. So the ALEC review working group has finalized its work. The final report is now out. No public comments will be requested this time, because this is the final version of the final report of the ALEC review working group. So many consultations have been done already with the community. The report contains the recommendations to provide the two voting directors for the at-large community. Thanks, Sebastian, for having clarified this point. It's a very important one. There is no single indications about the methodology for electing these directors. This will be a subsequent phase. Very likely it will involve consultation with the community on this very important aspect. The Structural Improvement Committee approved this final report. The final report is being passed to the board for approval. With one consideration, the board is requested to direct staff to collaborate with the community for planning the implementation of all the measures that are recommended within the report. Regarding the issue of voting directors, the issue has to be taken into consideration in conjunction with these other issues that we are here discussing, so size and composition of the board, size and composition of the NOMCOM, and for that reason, the Structural Improvement Committee gave mandate to the Board Review Working Group to come with proposals that will be discussed with the community before the board taking any decision on this. This is the point where we are.
Could you just clarify the timing on that last comment?
The target for the Board Review Working Group is to come with their report, which includes also the different scenarios for Seoul.
Which means public comment before
that. Yeah, public comment so that the report is out and the public comment period starts before Seoul, so that Seoul is part of the public comment period.
Yeah, before Seoul or immediately after Seoul. Sorry, but there is July and August, and several people from even from the working group are from Europe, and they are used to take holiday in that period.
Not just in that period,
all right.
Okay, but Marco, you still got to clarify this. So the report will be out. We're going to discuss it in Seoul, but not make a decision in Seoul? That was what I was trying to get at.
Say it again.
Sorry. If the report is published for public comment before Seoul, we're coming into Seoul and discussing it. Are we coming into Seoul for a board decision or just discussing?
I think it's impossible. We just don't have the we are not giving sufficient time for making a decision.
And
that's very helpful.
Such a big importance.
Yes,
right. It's better to devote a few more time to this.
No, it's okay. That's interaction.
sorry. That doesn't mean that we cannot implement even before Seoul. some of the recommendations that come from the board review working group that are non-controversial at this point in time, that are non-correlated. For instance, if I can just make one of the recommendations was to remunerate board members. The status of the situation is that there is a debate on whether this is a viable option or not, and so this has to be discussed further. However, there is consensus on the fact that the chair of the board has to be remunerated. So we didn't hear any voice against. So it is pretty likely that we can separate the situation for the board chairs. There's no point of delaying things that have consensus while waiting for agreement on the ones where we don't have consensus.
First of all, I wanted to say that I'm very happy that this discussion takes place because of the interconnectedness of the different reviews. I mean, this is an ongoing discussion that we've had. So it's very good that the question of the articulation of the different processes is being handled. I was just a little bit worried when the discussion started, not about the organization of the coordination of the reviews, but about the practical measures themselves. I mean, this is a typical situation within ICANN discussions where the distinguishing of the different levels is very hard because we start at one level and then it triggers into a sub-level and then it triggers and we get to the... Oh, but by the way, in the paragraph 27 at the bottom, we need to change the comma. So I would like to that this discussion remains at the level of how the process for coordinating the recommendations should be handled. I must say that I'm not sure I know what the format of this meeting is. Is it an information format for the board working group on from the board strategy, the SAC, for you to present where you are at? Is it a discussion or an input making? I'm not completely clear on that. What is, however, I would say of concern for me when I listen to the presentation is the following. We are now having a process that is dealing with bylaw changes. Those processes, one way or the other, are dealing with bylaw changes in one way or the other. Large ways, small ways, interconnected, that's why we need to discuss them together. What is happening at the moment is that we have external review that provide reports. I fully endorse what Marilyn says. In many cases, I am not completely convinced by the quality of some of the external reviews. And to be frank, I think we should consider the result of those external reviews as input into a community process. My concern at the moment is, if I understand the process correctly, this is not an input into a community process. It is an input into a reviewer to board with some community comments. Then you get the board that creates a sub-working group of board members plus former board members that will basically discuss the whole thing. And there is no community discussion. There is community input. There is community consultation. It is in no way a criticism of the goodwill or the intention of the actual board members who are participating in that, of course. But I think it is a structural question. We are talking about the revision of the bylaws without having any internal process that develops the community position. Raimondo, you were saying there, Roberto, sorry, Raimondo, slip of the tongue. You were saying that we heard no dissenting voice on the on this specific question of the remuneration of the chair. I would say there are two elements. There is one question which is, should there be or shouldn't there be, I personally could go either way. But I don't think the discussion has been made within the community about what kind of consequences that implies in the dynamics of how people work, in the balance between the community and the board, in the time that is devoted, and so on. It's not about a yes or no. It's not because nobody said no. We are not opposed. But a discussion must take place on what that implies. What are the consequences in terms of behavior? And so, in the specific case of the reform of the board, isn't that incredibly surprising that the whole process is basically that the board is going to discuss and define the board reform? And where's the community? I'm sorry to be blunt, but this is a very limited group of usual suspects, which is great. But this is a structural procedural question. Yeah.
Yes. Jong-Im Kim from University of Hawaii. I did make a point about this, I think, last meeting in Mexico at the meeting of the Committee of the Public Participation or something. Yeah. And I'm very new. This is my second attendance. And I'm glad you're talking about this whole structure and the implications of that and in relation to the bylaw. And I don't know the bylaw very well and very little. But the whole impression I had, I can only talk about impression because I really don't know much about ICANN. I'm still learning. The whole notion of participatory model, which is great. I mean, you know, we've heard about it for the last 30 years in all kinds of places, and a lot of time it was a lip service. And what I mentioned last meeting was, okay, good, but participation at what level, at what in the whole process of decision making, input from the community. Oftentimes, the lip service is that you invite input from the community, and the frustration from the community, which was expressed during the last 2 days, I heard, was the access issue and trust issue. All of that was because people don't know. Okay, we had some input, but I don't know what happened to that, because they are not involved beyond that process, especially in the decision-making process. You see, it's being done in an internal way between board and whatever. So I really think the ICANN should think very carefully about the whole notion of participation and at what level and how do you invite and how do you make it clear so that the community feels that they are actually participating and it is being reflected and they can see that. So I don't know whether it's related to your comment, but that just triggered my thought. So
this is an area that is definitely within the scope of the public participation discussion. I am not trying to deflect, but I think we have to have some separation of concerns so that we should discuss public participation in the ICANN process, which is terribly important, in one meeting, and what we do about the organizational reviews in another meeting.
Harold, I'm going to point out, I'm going to offer a observation that perhaps ties one point together with the other. We've been doing, and this I think is a relevant point that Marco and I've had a conversation about, we've been doing vertically deep reviews of the organs of ICANN, because that is what we put in the bylaws. And I say we because I might have been around at the time. I should have known better. Someone should have stopped me. And I think it is important not just to look back, but to look forward and say, so this is what we know now. vertically deep evaluations, regardless of who does them, even if they're 360 evaluations, have to come together, and perhaps vertically deep actually has to be thought of from the beginning as horizontal first, right? Yes. So that's a very important point. But I do think that the question of what is the role of the community as a creator of the strategic view and governance of the organization is also a question. Now, maybe we can't solve it here. Maybe it is actually the bigger question that the board must listen to its community about before it decides. And perhaps we're not there yet, right? But maybe this is pointing us to that question. But I think it is a valid question to say, who is, in fact, going to make the decisions? And at what point are decisions allocated only to the board because they are, and relevantly so, and then the composition of the board and the background of the board is thought about? So I agree we don't want to go into that debate here, but I think it's a relevant question to think about, and it's relevant because we are going to talk about changing the path. And maybe we should talk more about that, but at least we're going to talk about changing the path about how some members of the community get onto the board.
Two or three little points. The first one, I hope it's not just kitchen issue, but the question of how the at-large director will be chosen. I am not sure that it's the duty of the community at large to decide themselves. I think, as many things, it could be a community decision, and I really would have preferred to have some decision taken outside, because I see the opening of this discussion will destroy at large, mm-hmm. and will destroy ALAC, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it will be. Mm-hmm. We know already that there are people who are to come back to the election like in 2000. There are people who want just the elect to elect. There are people who want each one of the LSEs who votes. There are people who want a member of the LSEs voting. Then we will spend our full time on that, and I am not sure that if you give us that back, and then when I say you, it's the organization, give to ALAC to organize this discussion, then it's sure that you will have less input in policy issue. Because we have no more time. Right. The time it's not extending, and we are human like you, but maybe not so, not with less time. I don't know, or less capacity or whatever, but it's not, I think it's not fair to us. The second point is that and it's my personal point of view, if ALAC has to have a board member, I hope that GAC will get also some. Because it's come back to my third point, the big picture. I have the impression that if we are harvesting a new field with new seal, we have no silo to put it. That in another way, we have the current picture, the current organization, the current split of the work. Is it what we need for the future? And I know Roberto, we already discussed about the ICANN 2.0, and now ICANN 3.0, ICANN 4.0. The goal at first, the 2.0, was not to have a 3.0, but I am not sure that the situation of the organization and of the world will allow us to skip this discussion of a 3.0 and eventually a 4.0 organization. Thank you.
I'd like to answer Harald's very Yeah, Harald. No, that's okay. I wanted to answer your question because you're absolutely right. This is is it a public participation issue, or is it an issue for here? And thanks for the question, because it forces to make a distinction. I think what you were saying, in a certain way, is about And the public participation discussion deals with participation of the community in the policy making. And if this comment is about policy making, like developing the new GTLD process, you're absolutely right, this is part of the public participation committee. What we're talking about here, and what I was talking about, is another type of involvement of the community in the structural reviews. And it is the same kind of distinction that the national level between participation in lawmaking and participation in constitution drafting. What is at stake here is the mechanism by which this organization self-evolves. And the original characteristic of multi-stakeholder organizations is that, unlike traditional governmental structures, they don't distinguish so much or so clearly the constitutional evolution and the daily work. Because, and it's a strength, the processes are relatively the same. It's a wonderfully scalable and self-replicating system whereby you use the same procedure to reform the bylaws and to reform to the policy or to adopt a decision. This is great. This is the beauty of the model, even if it's not perfect. The scalability and self-replication is a beauty. And this is why I think the core issue of at least this process of organizing the conjunction of the different reviews, discussing how the community is part of the constitutional review process, is fully within the remit of this discussion and not the other one. Because, as I said earlier, at the moment we have a process where external actors who do not necessarily know much about the organization provide a report. At the same time, I fully support that it is an external organization, precisely because we need an input that doesn't come from the staff. In the PDP, you get issues reports that are prepared by the staff, potentially with external input, but it is coming from the organization. It would be unfair to the staff to say the staff is going to do the review of the organization. That doesn't work. So you need external input, and it's fine. But this is just an input, and it should be the basis for community-wide discussion. I'm not saying working group or task force or whatever, but the revision of the bylaws today should be discussed on a community-wide basis, on the basis of the different documents, to go along with this mapping, explore further whether everybody agrees that this is connected to that, and try to define the balance of changes, taking into account the political dynamics that those changes imply. And I fully support what Sebastian was saying. It is not, and it shouldn't be up to ALAC to define the internal procedure, because then they would be put in the exact same position as the IRT group today, which developed a very nice effort on their own and now are being accused from not having listened to other actors. And if you don't involve the whole community in designing each specific evolution, then it doesn't work. I'm concerned that it is remaining at the board level. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to add to that, I'm not confused about public participation. In fact, that session is going on right now.
Right.
Before I came here, I had to debate whether I should go there or here, because this, my concern, is part of both sessions. And I said, well, I don't want them to be disconnected.
Right.
In fact, I want.
Right.
So I came here intentionally for that purpose, because that has to be involved in the organizational review. And my impression, very limited impression as an outsider just walking in, is that somehow I still think that gluing is not quite done. You know, pardon my ignorance if I don't know whether it's done or not, but that was my impression, and I just wanted to strengthen that gluing. Yeah.
So to go to your slide.
I would like to make a couple of comments now before continuing the discussion, because I have the impression that it is taking different directions. So a little historical view. When we started the review process, what was intended and what was defined in the bylaw as to review every single part of the organization, which, by the way, doesn't include the board, was the supporting organizations and the advisory committee, with the purpose of identifying whether they still have a function in the organization and whether they were performing appropriately the function that they were tasked to. Nowhere there was the intention to make a global discussion on ICANN, on how it is and on how all the mechanisms work. It just came because some of the reviews were in fact ended up in being more complicated than what initially anticipated. The GNSO has lasted by now 4 years or something like this, by the fact that we find that there are interactions that we at this point have created this committee, but the purpose of this committee is not to talk about everything in ICANN and how everything fits together, because otherwise we will lose the focus on what the narrow scope of this committee is, which is to try to make sense of the 7-8 parallel reviews that are going on and try to put them together and do some modification. Now, what I hear from the discussion is that we need to do something else, which is to critically review how this process was done. For instance, I hear things like where the contractors, consultant appropriate for the task and so on. So to have a kind of indication from the process, a little of post-mortem. Excuse me?
The review of the review.
Yeah, exactly. So that in the next cycle we are going to do things in a different way. So maybe what I hear from the comments here, I don't know how representative those are from the whole community, but at least here I hear the need of having maybe the next review process organized in a different way. And I think that this is a debate that is most probably for Nairobi, in the sense that we plan to, I wouldn't say finish, but to be in an advanced phase for the current ongoing reviews in Seoul, and at that point we can start the debate on how to organize the next phase. Those are clearly an indication, but I think that we shouldn't lose the focus that is for now to bring to completion the things that we have. In terms of, for instance, the larger debate within the community about bylaws change and so on, while I agree in principle with Bertrand, I have to disagree on the specific point that is raised, in the sense that, for instance, the issue, the example that was made, the remuneration, I think that it is important, and it is important that the community debates this, but this is something that came in the framework of the board review. And the board review working group at every ICANN meeting has a public meeting where public input is solicited and discussion is solicited, and where it will be perfectly appropriate to open the debate about the individual items that are contained in that review. For instance, the remuneration of the board or the remuneration of the chair. What the purpose of this specific meeting is to see the issues that are overarching, in the sense that the issues that are appearing in different reviews and that need to for us to take a step back and to try to see it at the global picture. So that is a bit, maybe there has been a bit of confusion in what the different sessions were aiming at. And so while there's just a few of us here, I think that I can I can open the debate and let it go in a more free way. But if I had 100 people here in the room that wanted to stay on the agenda, I would have been a bit more strict. But I welcome the chance to talk about also these new topics.
We understand that. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, I was queuing up for just for the things.
But I'd like to answer to exactly what he said.
Okay. I would like to give an answer to two points that were raised. The first is about participation. The second is about the selection of external consultants. About participation, well, you can put it under the heading maintenance on flight or learning by doing. It has been a debate, very, very important. Sorry. within the Structural Improvement Committee, how to increase the participation of the community under review, how to increase, how to facilitate the participation of the committee under review to the review process. And when I say learning by doing, surely the first reviews that were carried out the practice within ICANN were not enough consolidated. Now the practice is more consolidated, and I think that the community is appreciating enormous efforts that have been put in the last review processes. For instance, for the ALEC review, were really several moments of interactions have been organized with the community. Why? Because it was perceived very clearly that public comments were not enough. Because it was emerged very clearly that if public comments is an essential part of the process, because allow everybody to react, the community is not sufficiently involved by this mechanism. So for that reason, other mechanisms, direct presentation, direct workshops were organized on this. Similarly, a similar process is being adopted for the ASAC review, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, where the community organized itself, where the committee organized itself to carry out, as a follow-up of the external reviewers' report, an exercise to analyze the findings from external reviewers and to provide inputs to the working group in order to enable the working group to react. Also, in this case, there is also a public comment, of course, and so everybody can participate into this process. But it was so evident that something more had to be invented. Another case, ARSAC review root server with the working group under the chair of Harald, we went directly to San Francisco to present the final report of external reviewers, and the community has been invited to create a design team to provide more structured inputs into the process. Also, in this case, it was evident that public comments was not enough. So public participation, yes, it's something, it's an overarching issue that it's on every single part, every single brick of ICANN. Regarding the organization review, it's something that is really, really taken into consideration, and we try really to improve the process while doing it. Second point about external consultants. Thank you very much, Marilyn. We have a public comment now, period. There are no slides for this, sorry. Another activity that has been running since, let's say, 5-6 months, something like that, is to rethink all the organizational review processes. We realized that organizational review processes, first of all, were not properly documented, were documented in several parts and not in an organic way. So there is need for more transparency and more documentation to the community on how we proceed. A long interaction with the Structural Improvement Committee to arrive to a document which is called Proposal for Systematization of Organizational Review Processes, in which there are some key concerns that inform this paper. First of all, increasing transparency, increasing accountability of the processes. This touches upon, for instance, the selection of external consultants. Thanks again, Marilyn, for having raised the point. If you would like to take the time to participate to this public comment, you will see one of the points that is touched here is the mechanism for selection of reviewers. And the mechanism for selection of reviewers is not only related to the advertisement of the request for proposals. This is one of the elements. But this relates also to the professional characteristics of the reviewers, their previous experiences, and so on and so forth. I mentioned accountability. I mentioned transparency. One of the mechanisms for increasing transparency is, for instance, to adopting mechanisms for the selection of the consultants that are public. Is, for instance, to adopt a grid of selection of consultants that is public and known to prospective tenderers. So tenderers, as in any other international organization, must know the criteria upon which they will be selected. A panel will be, in case of approval, of course, of this document, a specific panel will be called up to assess the proposals that will be received by external consultants, and you will see really a long set of different measures that are proposed for public comments. The Structural Improvement Committee already approved this document, and the board approved it for public comments. The public comments runs till the 8th of July, so there is still time to provide input to this process. I would like also to signal you that there is up for public comments a proposed time of reference for the CCNSO review, which is almost the last one that remains to be carried out. And some of the principles that you will see in this document, proposal for systematization, has been already included in particularly in the section instruction to bidders for the CCNSO review, particularly for the assessment of proposals, so transparency and accountability. Thank you.
I think this is a and thank you for that aspect, by the way. This exercise is a very important one. It's a bit connects to the discussion we have, but it is connected indeed. I wanted to say something. We're in a very small room here. It is a wonderful format for interaction. And to be honest, I miss having that kind of format, because that's the way we can really interact. The reason why we're not that many is because actually people, one, had to choose and made hard choices between what they had on another opportunity. I have a GAC session in the moment. I was supposed to be drafting things. I think it is more important. The fact that the public participation thing is at the very same moment is really worrying. But the thing I want to say about how representative we are, I don't know if we're representative, but we are the ones that care enough to sacrifice any other type of interaction to come and discuss this. And we are the usual suspects. I am not surprised, and you are not probably, to find in this room, apart from board members and staff, Marilyn, Sebastian, me. I didn't know you, but from what you said, obviously you're interested in the same thing. We are the process freaks. We are your friends. Okay? We are the ones who like this.
Me?
We are the ones who like the constitutional level. And so this exercise is also an opportunity for us to tell you what we think this issue is about. And it is important to make a distinction between interaction with the community and interaction among the community. If we tell you, and I think there is a relatively coherent thread among at least the four of us who have spoken, who are basically the ones you are coming to interact with, to say this is what we think is an important thread, then that's the input that you're supposed to receive. If, on the other hand, you want an interaction to say these are the questions we want to ask, this is okay, but it's a different exercise. And honestly, I like the discussion when we're trying to see where it should be handled, like when Harald said, is it public participation or not? I think the question is debatable. But there is a fundamental element, which is how this holistic review should be conducted. And as far as I'm concerned, and I only represent France, but me also, I do not believe that the process for conducting the review or aggregating the review, the way I understand it, will produce what we need to get. Because of this lack of the loop through the community, the processes are taking incredibly long. And there's one element that is not mentioned here, because in the horizontal vertical, there is a line that says GNSO. Of course, there is a review of the GNSO Council. But excuse me, there's the whole process of the GNSO PDP reform, which is very directly connected to that. For instance, there is a connection between issues. It's not about the composition of the board. It is not only about the composition of the council. It is about the respective roles of the board, the council, and the community. And as I said in the SOAC session, one of the questions is, there's a big difference between consultation of the community and decision shaping by the community. And at the moment, it just like bubbles, the decision making is becoming more and more the responsibility and the burden of the board. And actually, during the SOAC meeting, I should have used a word. Everybody is being overwhelmed. Ask everybody, and I'm sure that you as board members also feel that you are overwhelmed. So it's not one against the other. We are overwhelmed because the repartition of tasks is not working correctly. We in the community do not have the tool to discuss among ourselves. And I'm wondering, the final suggestion, whether on such issues, the idea of a community panel to discuss the process for harmonizing this wouldn't be a good thing, because we may be typical and representative of the interest, but we're certainly not able, the few of us who are here, to represent the diversity of views. What I would like to see is a mechanism to help this process that composes, let's call it a community panel, informal, a few representatives from the SOAC, and let's get them to discuss among themselves.
So you're suggesting a constitutional advisory council?
Nice work. Why not? I mean, jokes are always interesting. They always reveal that there's something underlying.
I was actually... the words might be joking, but actually, I think you have a good point in that... The public participation process we use for this sort of review allows the formation of allows the input from individuals, but does not allow the discussion. In the case of the Ars Acquiri view, we found this was a fatal error, a fatal problem for the process as usual. So we decided to be innovative and start up a design team, including members of the community that were particularly relevant to it. So we'll see how that works. I mean, not all processes and innovations are successful.
Yeah. Well,
test.
Just one.
Good morning. My name is Karin Francis. I'm a fellow, and as Bertrand said, I love processes and procedures, and that's why I'm here. But having listened to all of you, I think you've all made very good points. But I wanted to focus on what has already been done, because a series of reviews have already been done. A considerable amount of time and resources has been spent. Lessons have been learned. And coming out of that, there is a need to revisit those reviews that have not resulted in full participation, consultation from the grouping. So in some instances, I forgot the word that you used, you appointed design teams. So I'm wondering if there is an opportunity where there is deficiency in the reviews that have been done for you to correct those, one. And then secondly, for a sort of formal framework to be established moving forward so that you can have formal participation, whether it's through this panel or through some sort of formal framework for greater consultation from the grouping themselves or from the general community. Thanks.
You want me to answer the question? Well, I think that you're right that there are certain things that have been done have been achieved, whether if there are some shortcomings and some things in the process that are not right, they have to be corrected. But we are planning to do this. Although this session is particularly welcome, and we'll consider this input. We were planning to do a sort of post-mortem analysis of the process for the next cycle, and we are going to do this at the end of this cycle. So it was not meant to happen now as analysis, although obviously we are going to take minutes of this session, and whenever comments that are related to the process are coming in, we are going to keep them. So we are collecting input. We are not opening yet the discussion. Let me also clarify one thing. Several reviews are ongoing in parallel, and they are at different levels. The idea is to have a revision of the review process when this has ended, but with the aim not of coming back and fixing this cycle, but in order to do better the next cycle. Otherwise, I fear that this has taken, this process has taken already much longer than we had anticipated, and it will never end if we don't take this approach. I'm coming to you. Just a remark that we are now out of time. So if we can bring this debate to conclusion, Sebastian and Bertrand.
Yeah, I will try to keep that short. I think we are working on the improvement of the organization, and we need to work also, I would not say that it's not done part, but also on the improving the working method. And today, I guess the discussion about the working group, it's done essentially within the GNSO reform. And what it was suggest a committee on the constitutional issue, I will say that yes, great, but we need also a working group on that subject. And to set up a working group outside of the GNSO, outside of the SOACs, it may be something interesting to handle, because it's not an organizational silo or whatever. It's something we need for all the organization, and the constitutional part could be one way to deal with and to discuss together. Thank you.
Thank you. As a concluding work also, I agree with you, Roberto. The purpose is not to begin a sort of navel-gazing process that extend the process further, saying, did we do it correctly? And that's not the point at all. I agree it's the next phase for the review of how it will work later on. What we have in mind, I mean, what I see emerging, and thanks for the interaction, I think we're narrowing down. I agree with Sebastian, and I'm happy that Harald also came in that direction a little bit. What is basically at stake is something, some group, community-wide, however it's called, that deals with the interconnected bylaws revisions. Saying constitutional is the spirit. We're not in an environment where the goal is to have very nice branding teams. I would go along very nicely with that. I don't think it's appropriate. But bylaw revisions, community panel or coordinating panel, something that is not labeled advisory, but that shows that it's actually a real contribution by the community. And I hope that if such a panel, with sufficient discussions, bring something that is a real consensus, and people say, well, listen, these are the elements that, with good coordination, the community really endorses as a balanced set of modification, then when it comes to the board as a suggestion, it has a great likelihood of being taken into account. But I would suggest that we, as far as I'm concerned, I'll leave it at that, but I float this idea of trying to compose a group, and I'm willing to interact with whoever wants to explore it further.
So, if there are no other comments, I think that we can bring this to conclusion. The next session that is related to the reviews is the ALAC review that is going to take place, I think, here.
And the first level 4, function 1-2. At 11. And then we have in the afternoon the presentation of the board review. It's 4 to 5:30, barroom A, level 3.
Which one? Yes.
Yes.
Somewhat related.
Okay. This.
The IIC session, improving institutional confidence. Oh, yeah.
Ballroom A, level 3.
Okay, the meeting is closed.
Thank you, Roberto, and thank you.
Thank you
all for your patience.